You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM Sarasota. The views, comments, and opinions that come from our interviews, shows, air personalities, and from our calling guests are uncensored, and those views and opinions can be widespread and extremely diverse. These opinions or views do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WSLR, Fogartyville, our staff, or volunteers.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right.
Hello, Suncoast, and welcome back to another episode of The Ruthless Truth. My name is Ira, your host, and we are joined today by our favorite comrade and co-host, Sarah.
Hi, comrade. I'm excited to be back to talk about our gorgeous home, Florida, and our gorgeous home, Sarasota.
Yes, we will be getting into me and Sarah's connection to Sarasota in particular shortly. But first, we kind of want to set the scene because we know our audience comes from all over, especially all over this entire coast of Florida. So let's talk a little bit about the history of Sarasota. A lot of people, you know, especially up in Tampa, we go up north, they don't even know where Sarasota is when I talk about it.
Yeah, when I lived in North Carolina, people would say, oh, where are you from? And I would just say Tampa or, you know, the Tampa Bay area. Because if I said Sarasota or Bradenton, of which I've lived in both, they did not know what I was talking about. So I'm excited to, like, dive into the deep history of Sarasota.
Of course, you know, same. Oh, my God. One of my first trips when I was 17 for, like, this college thing, everyone would be like, where are you guys from? And they're like, oh, like, our school, we're from, like, SCF. We're in, like, Bradenton, you know, Sarasota. Like, they'd be like, I'd be like, Bradenton. And they're like, where's that? And I'd be like, you know, like, what about Sarasota? And they're like, we don't know what that is. And then eventually someone would be like, you just have to say south of Tampa. And I'd be like, ah, oh, come on.
We don't get the rep we deserve. We really don't.
We don't. Especially because it is a beautiful place. And, you know, why don't you take it back, you know, a little bit further before Sarasota became what it's known as today?
So long before Sarasota became the destination for tourists and retirees and wealthy people looking for luxury coastal living, it was home to indigenous people for thousands of years, much like the rest of the United States. The Timucua, the Calusa, and the Tocobaga lived, fished, traded, and traveled throughout what is now Sarasota County, leaving behind shell middens and burial sites and archaeological evidence that stretches back for more than 5,000 years. So we went really far back there, but in more recent history, the arrival of Spanish colonizers in the 16th century marked the beginning of centuries of violence, theft, and upheaval. By the 18th century, the indigenous peoples in the Sarasota region had largely been displaced by disease, warfare, and enslavement, all of which is part of colonial expansion. So the survivors, they either fled south, where they became a part of the Seminole and Miccosukee peoples, or they joined other native communities or perished altogether. In 1885, the Florida Mortgage and Investment Company, based in Edinburgh, Scotland, advertised Sarasota as a tropical paradise and sold 40-acre parcels to Scottish settlers. And this marks the area's transformation into a permanent American-European settlement.
Yeah, and since then, Sarasota has followed the well-worn arc of American overdevelopment. A settlement carved from stolen land was planned and advertised around the world to be a playground for the rich and powerful. To the investors, Sarasota is treated as nothing more or less than a cheaper, nicer American alternative to a European beach town. And since Bertha Palmer, a wealthy socialite, took a trip over here in 1910, it was put on the map. Since then, there was an absolutely huge advertising blitz to paint this image of Sarasota as this city that was rife with opportunity, that was advertised all across the north for people to go. Because before that, it was called Little Scotland. It was a very tiny, somewhat economically depressed area. And they went on an advertising campaign. These rich socialites, John Ringling and his ilk, a lot of these rich investors put out advertisements in the newspapers all up and down the richest neighborhoods in Chicago, etc., with these beautiful paintings of Sarasota in Manatee County, Florida. They called it a city of glorified opportunity, advertising golfing, swimming, boating, fishing, baseball, tennis, and beautiful sun 365 days of the year. They advertised as the state for health, wealth, and happiness. John Ringling would try to get people to come to the golf course and the Ritz-Carlton and buy boats and land. And it was this very larger than life idea of what it was at the time, even.
Yeah. And at the same time, I believe that Sarasota was becoming notorious for the circus and entertainment as well.
Absolutely. John Ringling had a lot to chew for that. For people not from Sarasota, he is our weird rich guy. Every little town has one, just weird rich guy who is responsible for all the little museums. That is John Ringling. He got his money from the circus trade. He started circus schools. He built up all of the local theaters and lots of museums and arts and opera houses, and spent a bunch of money trying to give it this European prestigious flair, advertising it as Venice, but better, but in America. And at the time, it was kind of BS. You know, there was a huge population store. It went from 2,940 people in 1920 to 8,248 people in 1925. So that's really huge. In just like a couple years, thousands and thousands of people moved to Sarasota. And of course, there was a huge crash because they didn't really tell people about the mosquitoes, the weather.
All the fine print.
Did not read the fine print. But yet, the reputation stuck. Sarasota by the sea, Florida's most beautiful city. And this really characterizes how the elite of, you know, America really kind of viewed Sarasota. And that continues in how it's perceived this day. But I kind of want to give people an idea of what it's like to kind of grow up into this place where there's all of this wealth, but working class people have always lived there. They have to make the city even run. So I want to hand it off to you, Sarah, to just give us a little bit about your background and your connection to Sarasota.
Yeah, I'll paint you a picture. So I was born into a working class family in 2000. I was born at Sarasota Doctors Hospital. So Sarasota was my first home, and I lived here until 2003 when my parents moved to Pensacola and then to the Northeast. But for a brief year in 2010, we found our way back, renting a house off Bee Ridge Road before leaving again. And during that time, coming from a deeply religious family, my sisters and I were actually homeschooled, so I can't speak to Sarasota public schools. But at that time, our socialization, we went to Erfer Family Park with other homeschoolers, where we spend afternoons on the playground or wandering, you know, a mile-long trail through pine flatwoods, wetlands, and they had wooden boardwalks for us as well to walk on and run and have a great time. On Sundays, we attended Sawyer Road Baptist Church, where all the trauma began. And some of my fondest memories were visiting my maternal grandparents who lived off of Point of Rocks Road back when working class people like my grandparents could actually afford to live within walking distance of the beach. It was a gorgeous two-story house with an in-law suite, and I'm pretty sure it's an Airbnb now. Anyone who knows that area of Siesta Key knows that the average single-family home is $2 to $8 million. When I was a kid, I remember, if you've ever heard the Ask Gary ads on the radio, the Ask Gary attorney, like the head attorney, built his enormous mansion just down the road from my grandparents' house. And that was really my first memory of when it became Millionaire Row. His mansion rose to where there had once been an open view of the Gulf. So it's replacing the stretch of a shared horizon that I remember looking at with walls and gates and an ugly driveway. And even as a kid, I just felt like something had been taken away. Not just the view, but a small piece of what had made the neighborhood feel like it belonged to everyone. So I returned to the area in 2017 and finished my senior year at Lakewood Ranch High School. And in the past 9 years, I've watched State Road 64 transform from a landscape of like pasture and cattle and neighborhoods intentionally built around preserves to just an endless strip of corporate development. I mean, every year, another piece of green space disappears under concrete. Like, how many car washes do we really need in a 5-mile strip? How many corporate dentist offices and storage facilities and vape shops and chain restaurants does one road actually need? You know what, Ira? Something I learned recently is that too often the value isn't just in the businesses operating there. It's in the land itself. Some commercial properties function as placeholders while the surrounding area appreciates, much like Sarasota and Lakewood Ranch have recently. And it makes future redevelopment even more lucrative. As land values continue to rise, today's brand new building can become tomorrow's demolition site and be replaced by something even larger and more profitable. Someone told me that the reason that a lot of dentist offices are opening up is because they're kind of like, it's a building that's easy to turn into anything, an office building, another doctor's office. It's a very transient business model. They can turn these buildings into almost anything. Meanwhile, the public pays the price. More traffic, fewer trees, shrinking wildlife habitat, increased flooding risks, and the loss of the rural character that once defined Sarasota and Manatee County. The benefits are privatized while the costs are shared by everyone who lives here. I'm curious, Ira, have you had similar experiences or noticed similar things around here?
I mean, most definitely, but my story is a little different. So I grew up for almost my whole life in the suburbs of Bradenton, which is a bit above Sarasota, for people unaware. So to me, Sarasota was where we went when we wanted to hang out on the weekend. We'd go to the museums and the gardens and the stunning beaches. And while the attractions were somewhat affordable as far as something to do as a kid or a teen, I knew those big, beautiful houses that I often babysat kids in for were not. So as a kid, I honestly thought Sarasota was a place where rich people lived and people from Bradenton worked. That was actually explicitly, you know, told to me by one of my middle school teachers, I remember. And I also knew so many of the adults in my life worked in Sarasota and lived in Bradenton. So
my family did too, actually. Yep. Worked in Sarasota, lived in Bradenton.
Mm-hmm. And because it's so unaffordable, but there are a lot of work to be done there. There's a lot of jobs there, but the housing can't compare. So us working class people all had to commute. And when I became an adult, at many points in my life, I was one of those people who lived in Bradenton and took the long, painful commute to Sarasota for my job. Oof. We'll definitely be getting into the traffic and the infrastructure in a bit, but It was probably one of my least favorite commutes of my life. Now, as an adult, I've also made more connections with the working class people who do resist the trend of mostly young people being pushed out of their communities while older, wealthy retirees move in from around the country and the world. So those working class communities are most definitely still there. Don't get it twisted. But every single year, they're getting pushed out and out and out into places like Venice, into places like Bradenton, outside Sarasota, but they're still commuting to right. their jobs in Sarasota. So if that helps kind of paint a picture and kind of enlightens the dynamics we're talking about. So since the 1910s, especially peaking in the 1920s, peaking in the 1950s, Sarasota has become this playground for the super rich. But of course, they need workers. So we have to commute in, serve some of the most entitled people. You know, my people in the customer service industry will relate. I know who you do there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, any of the service workers, retail workers, you know, medical assistants, low-wage medical workers, anybody who's in the working class, if you're working on university, if you're working in UTC, God bless you. You're doing the Lord's work, and I'm so sorry for that traffic situation. It's truly horrific.
Gosh, I worked at the Starbucks in UTC, and let me tell you, never in my life have I been so demeaned on a regular basis by tourists. tourists, rich people, snowbirds, retirees, you know, people who did not grow up here. Now, of course, to be clear, we love immigrants. We love people who come and be a part of our community and bond with us working class people. But oh my gosh, there is a certain level of rich and disconnected that lets people go around and treat the people who work in this city like trash. And definitely an experience we've bonded over quite a few times.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's worth noting that nearly 70% of Sarasota County's workforce is employed in occupations that qualify like as low income for a single person household, at least. And nearly 70% is a lot of people. Now, that statistic isn't saying where those people live. It's just saying that they are employed in Sarasota. But I think it is a safe assumption that a lot of those people probably live in Bradenton.
Over half of the workforce of Sarasota lives outside of the county and commutes for their job.
Wow. That would explain the traffic.
Mm-hmm. Let's get into the unaffordability right off top. It has become brutal the way Sarasota hurts working class people and completely how unaffordable it's been. When it comes to affordable housing, the Sarasota Manatee County region is in the hole by between 10,000 and 20,000 rental units, according to a recent study by the Florida Housing Coalition. In addition to overcoming that deficit, Sarasota County alone will need to build another 14,000 affordable homes in the next decade. Here is the thing, Sarah, that ain't happening in any sort of sustainable, manageable, or even sensible way under the current system, how things are being done, where development is completely in the hand of these corporations that have no concern for human quality of life or well-being or the character of neighborhoods.
I completely, completely agree.
Only through central planning, only through the working class people themselves deciding what kind of houses they want built in their community, how many houses, planning out where those houses are going to be built, coming up with timelines and having them actually completed instead of money just disappearing and having nothing but sprawling growth. That is not going to be possible under this current capitalist system. It just isn't. And the countdown is coming. We are genuinely running out of affordable housing in this country. Sarasota and Manatee County's deficit of 10,000 to 20,000 rental units is focused on rents that would be affordable by residents making less than 80% of the area median income, which is $51,200 per year for individuals and $73,120 for a family of four. Let's get into those numbers real quick. Let's take a quick pause. So that is the median income, but 70% of Sarasota's entire workforce is employed in occupation where taken as individuals, they would be considered low income based on one person household. Like we mentioned, that's most of the workforce. So even then, people are not even making that much money. People are not even individually making $51,000 a year. So the housing crisis is much dire. Everyone has to live with families and roommates. That's the reality of the situation. People can't afford to live alone or can't afford to raise families of four in Sarasota, like working class people.
Absolutely. And once you consider that commodities across the board have gone up, especially in Sarasota, like our grocery bills. I've noticed in the last 2 years that groceries at Publix have gone up about 30 to 40% personally in my personal budget. So I can't imagine families with children, what they're going through right now on top of the housing affordability crisis.
Absolutely. It's gotten incredibly bad. This study also looked at the 10 most common occupations in the area. Only two of them paid enough for an employee to afford a one-bedroom apartment at a fair market rate. Zero of the 10 most common occupations in Sarasota County paid enough for a worker to buy a median-priced single-family home. It is simply unaffordable. You cannot make those numbers work for people. And like we were saying before, Sarah, people are commuting. That's what's going on here. It is impossible to be an average working class person and comfortably live in Sarasota. Like we said, over half of Sarasota County's workforce lives outside. the county in commutes for their jobs. And what does this cause? Like we were saying, some of the worst traffic. You'll ever have to sit through.
Yeah, the consequences of capitalist, I wouldn't even say planning. It's less planning and more just like anarchy of capitalists' individual decisions. It's ruining the lives of more than half of Sarasota County's workforce,
It's absolutely, it's not even just they underpay you at work. Then you have to have another hour, hour and a half of your life taken away by sitting in these commutes.
And when the working class residents leave Sarasota, they're increasingly being replaced by wealthier newcomers. So it isn't growing for families. And a place once built by like ordinary working people has become a place where those same people can't even afford to belong.
And all of this is paired on top of the horrible infrastructure, like truly laughable infrastructure and transportation. For our listeners not from Sarasota, it's important to understand that Sarasota is actually quite large. It has a population exceeding 483,000 people, and it takes up quite a big swath of land if you consider the whole county. It's kind of long. It's nearly impossible to get around without a car. Absolutely nothing about Sarasota other than the tiny little tourist centers they have mapped out, St. Armand Circle, can be considered walkable. It's truly impossible to get from one destination to the other without a car. And they have an incredibly slow and undersized bus service. They barely have enough buses for the service to exist. It takes forever to wait on a bus, and they're often incredibly behind, and the routes are very nonsensical. And it's, of course, it's not the bus driver's fault. It's the fact that there's not enough buses, not nearly enough. So people can't even, use public transportation to get around. It is truly a car-centric city made for the super rich. It has its damages, this car-centric building.
Yeah.
The Northport, Bradenton, Sarasota metro area, like the entire metro area, is the 15th deadliest region in the United States for pedestrian fatalities.
I believe it. I mean, even the car insurance in many of the Sarasota Manatee zip codes, compared to lower population zip codes out east that are not as developed as you get closer to the coast, the insurance rates skyrocket because of the frequency of accidents.
And it's all infrastructure. It's all the way it's built that caused this. And we love to complain about the old people and their driving. I know we do. Love a little of indulging in that. But it's not just that. It's a system where it's set up to fail. There's no other way to get around. Even if you're not the best driver, you're someone who'd rather not be driving, take a trolley, take a light rail, you can't. You can't even take a bus. This is the result of thoughtless car-based infrastructure that simply slapping another concerningly fast roundabout will do nothing to solve. I want to talk about the environmental destruction very briefly. We talked about the lack of view, but Sarasota is beautiful, people. Sarasota is gorgeous. When they were selling it as a piece of paradise, there was some truth in that. It has beautiful mangroves, soft beaches, waters, manatees, wildlife, and that is something that has disappeared so rapidly over the past couple decades. In particular, between 1950 and 1990, approximately 39% of all of the tidal wetlands were completely destroyed, and 30% of the bay's seagrass meadows were lost. These are really, really important environments in Florida. They do so much to reduce pollution, to protect soil erosion, to feed into the ecosystem. The mangroves in Sarasota alone have been absolutely decimated in the latter half of the past century. Only 10% of Sarasota County is natural land now. 10%! That is nothing. This was a gorgeous, gorgeous piece of the world, and very little is being done to preserve what's left.
Yeah. And as Sarasota has grown, it feels like developers view those beautiful landscapes and beautiful ecosystems as an obstacle to overcome rather than something worth protecting. And Sarasota commissioners are letting it happen. You know, forests are becoming subdivisions and the wetlands are being drained and replaced by neighborhoods that are going to charge middle and working class people a ton in flood insurance because it doesn't make sense to build in that area, but they're still going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, it is really unfortunate, but it follows a pattern, you know? And speaking of the environment, there is a company called XF Group, which plans to build a proposed data center along Cattleman Road. Now, there has been a one-year moratorium from Sarasota County, meaning 1 year where they cannot build a data center. But that's nothing. Why is 1 year? How about never?
Have you heard how loud data centers are? People are posting videos of the humming, the never-ending hum. I wouldn't even describe it as humming. It is something out of a horror movie. They're incredibly loud because of the generators. And depending on the size, which I've heard that this AI data center is going to be rather large. Am I correct in that?
Oh, yeah. It was going to be a mega. They want to build a mega data center, a hyperscale.
I heard it was going to be one of the largest in the United States in Arcadia.
Oh, my God. That would be absolutely devastating, especially in Arcadia. Goodbye to the last little bits of rural areas that this area has. Now, speaking of the destruction of, you know, homes and lifestyles, recently there have been a lot of historic places that are actively being destroyed or have been destroyed in Sarasota County. I know we were just talking the other day about the historic cottages along Fruitville Road near downtown Sarasota and how they very might well be completely demolished. They're beautiful, colorful, so many small businesses, little breakfast joints, you know, lunch spots, a lot of places where working class people who work in the big offices nearby go on their lunch breaks, go and get breakfast before work. I know I definitely stop by them. It's a nice little break in the middle of a busy day, and they could be completely destroyed. And of course, they'll be replaced with housing, but that's not the issue. This is something really beloved in the community, not just by the rich people, but the people who actually work there. And it is such a shame to see communities with such character get destroyed. And particularly when it comes to gentrification, we must talk about the historic Black communities that have been gentrified in Sarasota. Now, Sarasota in its beginning had plantations. It had Black people that were moved around from many different points in American history. So the Black community has been here for a very long time. But the question of where Black people are able to live has been a subject to change. Sarasota has had Black neighborhoods since the very beginning, but there have been a lot of repression of those neighborhoods. And now, currently, modern day, Newtown Black residents are fighting to prevent being forced out of their historic neighborhood from modern gentrification methods and being priced out of their homes. Black Americans should have power over the places they live and not have to rely on the historic merit of those places to not be displaced. And at the end of the day, all of these problems are capitalism. Sarasota is just a heightened version of the crises that happen in every city in this country, heightened because of its history of being a playground for the super rich. But the solution is the same all the way through. It is socialism. These are Sarasota problems, but it's not just a Sarasota problem. Only a system that puts people over profits can create truly sustainable communities. We need rent control and tenants' unions. We need to fight for publicly owned utilities so working class people can afford to keep the lights on.
Yes, the conditions for a socialist revolution are growing every single day, and people are tired of being deprioritized in the name of capital. And if you, the listener, are interested in learning more about socialism and what it will take from working class people organizing for revolution, please check out the Party for Socialism and Liberation Instagram.
Thank you so much, Sarah. And it is so true. Living in a place like Sarasota, working in a place like Sarasota can be so demoralizing, but the topics we covered in this episode show why we need to fight even more to build this struggle here Ken, I'm so glad I was able to have you on today. This has been a wonderful episode.
Thank you so much, Ira. I'm so excited to continue this conversation with you. In 2 weeks, we will dive a little bit deeper into Sarasota and the surrounding areas like Manatee County. And we'll talk a little bit more about the ecological devastation, the affordability crisis, and the specifics of what it will take to organize for a better world.
Wonderful. All right. So that is all the time we have today. We will see everyone in 2 weeks. And in the meantime, don't forget to get up, stand up, and don't give up the fight.